I have a question for you. Do you think the diets that you go on impact your mental health? I'm here to tell you they absolutely do. I'm so excited to bring Carla Williams back on the podcast to talk about how dieting really does play a role in your mental health and impact all the people around you. It's a really interesting conversation that I'm excited to share with you. Now, before we get started, I need to do a quick trigger warning. There are mentions of eating disorders, disordered eating, and pregnancy loss in this podcast. So just be aware of that. If this is something you don't want to listen to, there are dozens of other episodes that I know you would love to check out. But for today, those things do come up. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. But also, this is such a good conversation that I think moms need to be aware of, because it really is the moms that have the chance to make an impact on the world and honestly make a difference. And so without further ado, we're going to jump into today's conversation. Are you ready to make a change in your life but not sure where to start? Welcome to Moms on the Rise, where we believe that as moms and as women, we can choose to create a life we love. I'm Camille Beckstrand, a mindset coach and fellow mom on this journey of rising up in all areas of our lives. So join me and let's rise together. Welcome back to Moms on the Rise. I am so excited about this conversation today because it is something that I think so many women struggle with and may not even realize that there is a big connection between nutrition and mental health. So like I said in the last episode, we are focusing about mental health this month because May is National Mental Health Awareness. And I just think it's so important for women and especially moms to really understand their mental health and how to care for it. And so I have brought Carla Williams back on the show. We did an episode, by the time this one goes live, it'll been about 7 or 8 weeks since she came on. And it actually to date has been our most popular episode because so many people do have struggles with their relationship with food. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back because it's such a good conversation about your relationship with food and how to change it and how to look at it differently. But today we are going to dive into nutrition and mental health because there is a big connection. So before we jump in, I just want to quickly introduce Carla. So Carla is a registered dietitian nutritionist. And what she specializes in, she has so much experience in so many realms, but what she specializes in is helping women claim the body they want and feel like themselves again. I think she has seen so many women kind of lose themselves and struggle with who they are and who they want to be. And so that's what kind of what she does. And she does it through food and a really holistic, healthy approach to that. And so she's a wife. She's a mom of three. She knows what it's like to be busy and to take care of kids and house and work and do life all at the same time as trying to take care of yourself. And so I just love that she puts a focus on having energy, on feeling confident, and just claiming the body that you want without doing it in a way that is hurtful or in a way that promotes shame or hatred against yourself. So excited to have Carla back. Thanks for being here, Carla.
Thank you so much. I just love this. This is my favorite thing to do, is this with you.
This is your passion. That's what I love about you. You love helping people and you bring so much expertise and knowledge to the table. So let's just jump in. And I even asked you this. I said, Carla, is there really much of a connection between nutrition and mental health? And your answer was like, oh yeah, so much. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about what that connection could be?
100%. And I mean, there are millions of avenues that you could explore of like the gut-brain connection and hormones and all of these things, all very important. Here's what I want you to think about, though. Think about a car, and I'll probably use this analogy again, but you have this beautiful, like your dream car. For me, it's like a little red convertible. I would love it. I'm driving it around, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but like what happens if you put the wrong fuel in the car?
It breaks down. In fact, I've done that before.
Oh, you have?
Yes. And it made sounds that it should not make.
Okay. So Just like a car needs specific fuel in order for it to perform its best, our bodies are the same way. And the more that we can give our bodies the things that we need to help them function at their best. And when I say function, like, I want you to feel your best. You need to have the energy that you need to have. You need to have the health that you need to have and deserve. And yeah. So when we are really focusing on how can I nourish my body, it doesn't just affect your waistline. I think that's what we've been mostly told is that, yeah, nutrition matters if you want to lose weight or want to stay the same weight or, you know, something with weight.
Yeah.
But it's like nutrition matters when it comes to mental health. We have studies that show the more diverse your gut is, so the more types of foods that you eat, of fruits, vegetables, plants, herbs, spices, whatever, the more diverse your gut is, the better people's anxiety is or the better their depression is. We actually have studies where they tested probiotics versus traditional depression medications, and the probiotics worked just as well. So it's like there is an amazing connection, and I 100% advocate if you need a medication, you should take the medication. Absolutely. Work with your doctors.
Yeah.
But the way that we are eating and the foods that we are eating, there is a definite impact on our mental health, on our physical health. Yeah, this aspect of like what we think of is traditionally mental health. But
yeah.
Then there's this aspect that I kind of take more on, which is, okay, how do we have a healthy relationship with food and that mental health connection? So eating disorders and disordered eating behaviors, which I would say most people have either participated in or still use disordered eating patterns very often.
Yeah.
With my experience, I think we talked a little bit last time when I came on, but I've worked at eating disorder hospitals and I've seen just the devastation that can cause. The place where I worked, they took children through adults. So I'm talking like very early teens and tweens to like grandmas being admitted into these centers to come and live because it was a need that they had. They were going to die if they didn't receive treatment to address some of those underlying mental issues going on and that physical manifestation through an eating disorder.
Yeah. It's so fascinating to me. Like, I think of the times in my life where I wasn't mentally strong. I'll say it that way. But like, what's so funny is because I wasn't maybe as healthy mentally, it really did impact my physical health. It was almost like I didn't have the right mindset to fuel my body properly. It was almost like because I wasn't feeling great in one area of my life, it just didn't matter what I ate. And so I ate a lot of junk and a lot of sugar. And then it reflected poorly for my physical health. And then it like went back to my mental health. And I just felt like it was almost like this cycle that I was stuck in because I wasn't mentally strong. It was like trickling into my physical health as well, which trickled into my social health, which trickled into my spiritual health. And it's like they're all connected. There
yes.
really is a connection. And so I love that you brought that up, that it is so related with all aspects of health.
And what's wild to me, so this is what I think about as a dietitian. It's like, okay, how is this presenting in the normal population, meaning just like people who don't necessarily have eating disorders. And there are really interesting studies. Some of these, it's like, okay, a review from Common Sense Media determined that 1 out of 4 children has dieted prior to turning 7. 1 out of 4, the age of 7, right? This is not just girls. These are boys. And what they said is that they wished their bodies were thinner.
World.
There was a 2012 report saying that 80% of American girls age 10 have been on diets. 80%.
Age 10. That's like fourth, fifth grade. I have a 10-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah. So by first grade, 25% of kids are dieting. By third or fourth grade, especially if your daughter, you have a daughter, but even boys, 80% are dieting. Children as young as 3 are showing body dissatisfaction, that they're noticing a difference, which there's a difference between noticing and wishing that your body was fundamentally different. So we have three-year-olds showing a high dissatisfaction with their bodies. There was another study that showed five-year-old girls, their ideas about dieting, which I love. This is the study title. Five-year-old girls' ideas about dieting are predicted by their mother's dieting. So this is a direct quote. It says, depending on the question, from 34% to 65% of girls aged five had ideas about dieting. Compared to girls whose mothers did not diet, girls whose mothers reported current or recent dieting were more than twice as likely to have ideas about dieting, suggesting that mothers' dieting behavior is a source of young girls' ideas, concepts, and beliefs about dieting. It says among mothers, more than 90% reported recent dieting, and most reported using both health-promoting, right? Not all pursuits of weight loss are inherently evil. We're not saying that. What it is being saying is that most reported use of health-promoting and health-compromising diet behaviors. And that's where I feel like I have to really take a stand, is how do we essentially free women and their families, because it's women, children, even men, how do we free them and disabuse them of this notion that your weight is the most important thing about you, that your weight is the most defining aspect of who you are?
Yeah, totally. It's so interesting because for many years, Jared and I used to run these health challenges, and for men and women, and the ultimate goal was to lose weight. And this was like 10 years ago. And we would reward people who lost weight, whose number on the scale reflected that weight loss. And it was all about the number. And what's so fascinating is I have worked with so many women since then, and then got certified as like a coach. I started to realize how much of a woman's worth was tied to that number on the scale. And I've since come to learn how that number really is one of the worst ways to track progress and to track how healthy one really is, because health is so much more than a number. But the value that we tie to that number, it had the power, seeing a number on a scale had the power to shut a woman down for at least a week, maybe more, cause her to quit completely this program that we were on because of how that number made her feel, or how that number, how she tied her value to that. And so I love this conversation. I want you to keep going about your thoughts about it too.
I just think, like, we have data, people who are very unhappy to this level of unhappy about their bodies, they do have greater levels of depression. They do exhibit more anxiety. They do have a lot of these behaviors that they don't want. And yet they're just stuck in that cycle over and over again. And it's just, again, I'm sharing statistics about like eating disorders, but the population, there's people who have clinical diagnosed eating disorders.
Yes.
There's a whole other subset of the population, which is very large, that participate in other behaviors that are health compromising behaviors.
Yeah.
Not full blown eating disorders, but health compromising. And so when we look at the statistics, it's like 9% of the US population will have an eating disorder. So 1 in 10. Or things that are kind of crazy to me, like 22% of children and adolescents worldwide show disordered eating. Or that we lose 3.3 million healthy life years worldwide due to eating disorders. It's not just it can shorten someone's life, but it's we are losing healthy years of your life to this. And so it's just eating disorders have the second highest mortality rate of any psychiatric illness behind opiate addiction.
Wow. I mean, this is serious stuff.
And so, again, I feel like it's my duty to help free people from this. And most importantly, help them feel confident, because confidence doesn't come from a number on the scale. It comes from learning how to work with your body and not see it as an enemy. Your body is there to help you. It has been with you through every pregnancy or every pregnancy loss, through school and marriage ups and downs. And your body is the vehicle to help you fulfill your greatest potential. That's all it is. So we're just trying to keep your vehicle in best working order so that you can achieve your greatest potential.
Oh, I love that. I think too, like when I was younger, I definitely took my body for granted and was so harsh with my body because it didn't look a certain way, because it didn't move a certain way or have curves a certain way. And I just didn't appreciate it for what it was. And I think it was when like I started having babies that it was like, wow, like this really is pretty amazing. Like I can feel a baby moving inside of me. And but also on the other end of the spectrum, I lost a baby pretty far into a pregnancy. And I just remember being so mad at my body and disliking it, being just, what's the word? Like ashamed that my body couldn't do the thing it was supposed to. And so I feel like I've been on such a roller coaster with my body. And now as I'm like heading into my 40s, it's like, wait, I've come to this realization and this conclusion that, yeah, my body has been with me through it all, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet it's the thing that carries me through and gets me through. And just kind of been that mindset and that realization of like, oh, I need to take care of this body so that it can take care of me and help me reach that potential. So I think that's so beautifully said.
And I know that you've shared a little bit, but I'm curious to hear like more about your story and your relationship with food and your body.
You know, I feel like it's been such a lifelong thing. I wouldn't ever say I had an eating disorder, but I remember specifically like probably about seventh or eighth grade, right in puberty, right when everything's changing, everything's a hot mess. And you really do start to look at your body as you're like, as these curvy hips are coming in and you're like, what the heck? This is not like what my little sixth grade body used to look like. And so I remember in eighth grade, it was all about calories and watching every calorie that went in. And what is so funny is I can specifically remember being in the lunch line at the junior high. And they had like the pizza line, and then there was a salad line. And then I remember they had this a la carte line where you could just buy little things like one-offs. And I would go there and get like just a bagel, or I would get like a cup of ice cream because it only had less than 200 calories. And I just, that's what I would eat, or diet soda because it had zero calories. And it's so funny to think back to those days. And I had terrible acne through my teenage years. As I look back at the food that I was putting in my body, it's like, no, blue-eyed wonder that you had horrible acne. Like your poor body was just trying to do the best it could with the food that I was putting in it. I think that that mentality around food carried on with me. In fact, I can remember there was a time in high school where I thought, oh, I should just be eating fat-free foods. Because fat-free means I won't put fat on. I need fat-free foods. And I remember thinking, oh, bread is fat-free. There were times I would eat half a loaf of bread and think, oh, this is good because this is fat-free. I see you laughing, Carla.
I love it.
Isn't it funny? Like the things that we get in our head and think that like, oh, yeah, this makes sense to me. This is the diet that I need to be on, or this is the way that I need to fuel my body. And I was very active in high school. I did a lot of sports. I ran track, and my poor body needed a lot more fuel than what I gave it. And unfortunately, I just didn't have the right education about food and about how to fuel my body. And it was very much, I mean, in the 90s and early 2000s, it was all about how skinny you could be, and skinny was beautiful, and people without butts were the ones that were praised. And the way that my body is, it's just curvy. I even remember there was a kid who told me I have a bubble butt because my booty is a little bit rounder, and
bless his soul.
I know, right? He's probably like, oh, that's in now. But anyways, it's interesting the mindset around food that I always had. And what is unfortunate too is I carried that with me into my pregnancies and even right after I had babies. And I would say after my first three babies, I was still in my 20s, very much was, okay, now that I've popped out a kid, I need to lose the baby weight and it needs to come off and I'm going to work my butt off until it's gone. And it wasn't until my fourth kid in my 30s that I approached it differently. And I started realizing like, I can't do this again. I can't starve myself to skinniness because I've got four littles that are looking out for me, and I've got a job that I have to show up for, and I need energy. I can't not give myself enough fuel to get through. And that kind of is what started me down this path that led to Jared and I doing the Mommy Tummy Fix. And it started out as weight loss health challenges, but it ended up in this beautiful, I would say very wholesome place where food is my best friend, because it is what fuels me and it is what makes me feel the way that I do. And I really think that changing the way that I ate, I didn't necessarily restrict anything, but I just made sure that I started with a foundation of water and fruits and vegetables, like making sure I got those in every day. And when I put the emphasis on that and the focus on that, I noticed not only changes in my body, but changes in my head and changes in the way I looked at myself and changes in the way that I just kind of viewed so many things. And it's a journey that I wouldn't wish on anyone because of the hard times that it brought. But also, I'm so thankful for the experiences that I went through because it led me to where I am today. And I feel like that's why I feel so passionate about teaching women about nutrition and about mental health. Because if I can maybe save one or two from having to go through the hard crap I went through, then it's worth it to me. And so that's kind of a little bit about my journey.
I think you nailed it on the head. You're like the calorie counting, X, Y, and Z, that I could only have this because of what you knew. I love that you were compassionate to yourself. It was like, I was doing the best that I knew how. Self. But also, I think it's very reminiscent of so many women that I've worked with, I've seen.
Yeah.
It's that their weight, how their body appears to other people is the most important thing. Because we want to be loved and accepted. And so I work with so many women that legit, they're like, I am scared to do this X, Y, or Z. Because if the number changes on the scale, like some people, it's if the scale goes up, or maybe it's if the scale doesn't go down, they're like, I am worried that I am not just unlike, they're like, I'm worried about likability, that people will like me, that people will take me seriously. But it's like, I'm worried that I will be unlovable, that my husband will not love me, or my children will be ashamed of me, or that people will be embarrassed of me. And so there's so much tied up. And I feel like you hit a lot of those. It's just like you get to a point either because you are forced to, or because you realize there's another way that, like, I'm not going to starve myself anymore. I'm not going to kill myself for a number on the scale. Because it just doesn't work. And like you talked about junior high, this boy saying like bubble butt. And yeah, like now that's great. But we are swinging. The heroin cheek is coming in really strong. Yes. So that 90s ultra thin, it's coming back. And that's why I think is so interesting. Like the whole nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. That's a huge one. And it actually reminds me, I dug through my journals. And one night, my husband and I, because he's like, oh, these are your journals. I want to see if you wrote something about me. Yes. And so he was looking through and he was reading them and he's, dang it, there's this other kid in here. What's the deal? And so fortunately, I kind of liked this other kid at the time. And we were looking through and my husband started reading this and he like started crying. And I was like, what's the matter? And he's like, listen for a second. And so I had just gotten back from spending the summer up at my sister's house and we were having so much fun. She was married, had a little girl at the time. So I was just kind of helping and having fun up there. And I came back and a couple of girls that I knew kind of came up to me and they patted my cheeks and they're like, oh, her face jiggles. And it was very, I really internalized this. And it said, I can't wait until school gets out and it's summer. This is because I can do whatever I want, which...
Yeah, which teenager doesn't love that.
It's like, right. Also can get tan and be fit. And I said, lose some weight. I'm like, man, I have gained almost 20 pounds since my sister's wedding. And it's like, no wonder, I'll take his name out, but no wonder blank doesn't pay any attention to me. The same goes for any other guys I know. And he's like, Carla, I can't believe you wrote that about yourself. And he knew me at the time. He was like, I never would have once ever thought X, Y, or Z about you. But the fact that I even memorialized it in my journal of I need to lose as a, I mean, like I was probably like 16 or 17, that I needed to lose, actually, no, I was like 14, that I needed to lose 20 pounds
You probably didn't have 20 pounds.
So that I could be likable. So that I could be lovable. And he's like, I can't believe you said those things to yourself. And I was like, you know, I kind of can't either. But also, I get it. Like, if you are scared and just feel so depressed and like anxious, I've been there. And it isn't a place that you have to stay. Like, let's get you out of this. Let's do some work. Let's get you out of this so that you don't have to stay in that mindset. But I think that's like the really more sneaky examples of how we feel about ourselves. And the question is, had I not had a scale, had these girls not patted my cheeks and said that they jiggled, I was so happy. I had one of the best summers I ever had, just like spending time with my sister and my niece. And it's like, is it worth sacrificing my happiness and putting at the altar of the scale your worth as a human, as a mother, as a friend, as a sister? Is it worth sacrificing that for a number on the scale? I just don't think so.
I don't think so either. In fact, there have been many years that I will, probably over the past 5 years, where I just haven't been weighing myself because I don't care what that number is. It's more important to me to go by how I feel, how my energy levels are, how my gut feels. Do I feel bloated or am I feeling okay? And it's fascinating when you make that be the way that you measure your health, just how you feel instead of that silly number on a scale. It changes a lot of things.
It's crazy. And that's the thing, like BMI, terrible. It's not really great for individuals. We could get into that. And the scale, they are really poor indicators of health outcomes. Yeah. Like you said, energy, you want more sex drive. You want to feel confident. You want to feel healthier. It all goes to what's happening internally.
Absolutely.
Not externally. And so I've said this before and I'll say it again. Answers to your health are not on the scale. They're in your blood every single time.
Yeah.
And so the sooner that I can help you realize that, the sooner you can realize that and connect to that, you are going to be freed on a whole new level.
It absolutely is a freedom. I love that that's what you said, because like you said, when I took that scale away and stopped weighing myself and said, just focused on how I felt, I really did put an emphasis on energy and how much energy I had throughout the day. You talked about confidence and sex drive. It was so fascinating because there were a couple of years ago where I was really struggling with intimacy and just wanted to show up better and more confident in myself. And it was so fascinating because I just always thought, well, if I lost the weight, I would show up more confident in the bedroom. I'd probably want to have sex more. And what was so fascinating is it had nothing to do with my size and everything to do with the things that were going on internally, my energy levels, the relationship that I had with myself. And it, like you said, it's always to what's happening internally.
And most importantly, your worth as a mother, as a sister, as a friend, as a coworker, as whatever roles you are filling in right now, your worth is indisputable.
Oh, I love that.
No matter the number of calories you consume, or this is a big one, how clean you eat,
right?
Whatever that means, right? How many hours you exercise, the size on your jeans, or the number on the scale, your worth as a human is indisputable. There are people who would be devastated if, poof, you're gone. Your children, your spouse, your loved ones, your friends, life, this earth would not be the same without you. You cannot dispute your worth.
I could not agree more. And like, I love that idea of you came into this world with worth and you will leave this world with worth. No one can take that from you. And it just, I think that's something we really have to pound into our heads, that we're worthy no matter what size, no matter what's going on. Like, we have that worth and that's so good. Okay, I love the way this conversation is going, but I feel like now we need to kind of talk about the how. We know it's important to be confident. We know it's important to improve our body image. And so how do we do it? How do we create that positive body image? How do we become more confident in our body, no matter what size we are, no matter what the scale says? How would you coach somebody in that? Where would you start?
100%. There is an amazing book. I love it. More Than a Body. It's a great read. Two PhD twin sisters, Lexi and Lindsay Kite. One of the huge things, that as well as just like intuitive eating, we really need to see our bodies. And there's kind of two ways you can see your body. It's either your body is an object for getting attention, being able to control others. And you might think like, I'm not trying to make my whatever do things, but we are trying to make people like or love us. And so we see our body, the shape that it is, the way that it looks, the number on the scale, as a way to control that, to get people to do things that we want them to do or to get attention. Or you can see your body as a vehicle to help you accomplish your highest potential. So what can your body do? What can it help you achieve? What has it helped you overcome? And so when we look at our body in these two separate ways, I find the people who are most distracted and overwhelmed, sorry, I said that weird, overwhelmed by the scale, are the ones who primarily see themselves as their body is for everyone else. It's for their husband, it's for their kids or their work, whatever, to make people like them. Whereas the people who really start to thrive are the people who say, you know what? Isn't my body amazing that I carry kids? Like, yes, I have stretch marks all over my stomach. Isn't it amazing that my body was able to carry kids and more or less shrink back to what it was previously? That's kind of amazing.
That's amazing.
Or isn't it amazing I can climb these stairs, go on this hike? I might be winded. However, I can still do this.
Yeah.
So there's this element of what can my body do or achieve or overcome? And then how can I gently expand those limits in order to help me fulfill my greatest potential?
Oh, and I loved that you used the word gently, because I think sometimes we just automatically go to the other extreme of like, oh, how hard can I push it? Like, I've got to do more.
Will it.
Yes.
I will will myself.
I will will myself to lose
much.
Weight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what if we did it gently? And I even love the idea. This is something that I have been working on. It's just having gratitude for my body. I know you know this. I have been struggling with knee pain and knee arthritis for the past couple of months. It's been so frustrating because I feel like I'm so young. In fact, the pamphlet they gave me at the doctor's office had a picture of a 70-year-old lady on the front. It's like, so you have knee arthritis. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so young. And I was angry for a little bit. And now as I'm like doing rehab and trying to do all the things to best take care of my knee, to give it the best chance that it has to keep going with my knee, like any time that it feels good and I can walk up and down stairs without pain or can go on a hike. I went on a hike with my family a couple of weeks ago and I just really was intentional about just being grateful. I'm so grateful my knee did this. I'm so grateful that my legs work together with my joints to carry me. And like when I started looking at my body through that lens from this place of just, I'm so grateful, it really changed the way that I was like looking at it. And
yes.
Instead of being mad, it's hard to be mad when you're grateful.
Yes, 100%. And I think that goes back to what is your body helping you to do that matters to you? I'm not going to be a Michael Phelps swimmer. I'm just not. So like those types of goals don't really make sense for me, but how many people are, I should have the body like that? Or I'm trying to think. We see a lot of fitness influencers who their job is to exercise for multiple hours a day. And it's like, why don't my workout clothes fit and look like theirs do? I bought the exact same outfit that they had. It's like, well, is that really my goal? It's like, no, my body helps me to play with my kids, to run around, to feel X, Y, or Z. That's right. What matters to me. And I'm grateful for that. I love that.
That's so good. Okay, so you had talked a lot about how for younger kids, the influence of their mom really determined their look at dieting and how they started dieting at young ages. And it was a lot because of their moms. And so how should we talk about our bodies, especially like with kids around? Because it's important to me to eat healthy and I want to be that example for my kids and I want to have those conversations with my kids. But how do I do it in a way that isn't going to mess them up and cause them to start dieting at age 3 and a half or whatever some of those ages were that were just crazy to me? And so how do we do this as a mom?
I think obviously you as a mom, I want you to feel empowered that you are doing the very best that you can. Like you love your kids. Intuition, follow it. I think it's really interesting. Most of my clients, they have very specific, they remember very specific things that their mother said about their bodies. Verbatim, they know it. And maybe the mom even made the comments, or other people, right, made comments about their body. I remember the whole cheek thing.
Yeah, bubble butt.
We still remember. What I think is really interesting is how we talk about our bodies. And you even mentioned, I think, showing gratitude for your body. Mom exercises. This is one with my kids. They're like, don't exercise. I'm like, no, I really want to exercise. But I'm like, I do this so that I have energy to play with you, so that I'm strong to pick kids up. So framing what the body can do, what it can achieve, what it helps us overcome. It's amazing ability to heal. And when we eat these foods, it helps our body do X, Y, and Z. So tying food to the benefits, right? It's not about, so I can be skinny. Mom can't have that because she's on a diet. So many clients, their moms, they're like, mom was on a diet, so we were too.
Yeah.
Her mom made me do Atkins when I was 12 because of X, Y, and Z. So that's one thing. I think also talking about how bodies can be different. So for example, my kids love to spot out every single dog, cat, like every animal, because we don't have any. And my daughter was asking me, she was like, oh, hey, this one's a puppy. And we went over and we're talking to them and they're like, oh, she's actually not a puppy. She's an older dog. But she thought that because this dog was really tiny, that it was a puppy. And they're like, no, actually, it's different. Then we saw another dog that was really tall and big. And that one was actually a puppy and not. So it was reverse what she thought. And so I think it's really important that just like dogs, right? There are so many breeds of dogs.
Yeah.
And some of them, a tiny little, I don't know dogs very well. Like,
I don't either.
A tiny little teacup poodle. I don't know. So think of some small, really small dog.
Okay.
Right? Versus a Great Dane. No matter how much we feed this little dog, it will never be a Great Dane. Like, it's never going to be really tall with really long legs and weigh however many pounds they weigh. I think it's quite a bit. Just as this Great Dane, no matter how little we fed it, would ever become this tiny dog. It would die. It would die before it ever turned into this tiny little dog. And the same thing goes with bodies. Like, we can point out, yeah, this body's this way, this body's this way. Like, even between me and your aunts or whatever.
Yes,
we have different bodies and they help us do different things. And that's okay, because the only person that it really affects is that person.
That is so powerful. It's so interesting you say that, because I have five little sisters. And as we've grown up, it's interesting because our bodies are so different. I have one sister who's my same height, but she has such a long torso and shorter legs. And it's so funny because we are the same exact height. And then I have another sister who is super short and just has this darling hourglass figure. And I am just straight as straight can be. I do not have that hourglass figure. And it's like, wait, we really are related? Like, we could not be more different. But it is. Like, I love that each person is so unique, but the only person that uniqueness impacts is themselves.
And learning how to work with your body specifically is so important, because even within that same person, right? Your body has been through multiple pregnant. There have been so many phases of Camille.
Yeah.
Your body is adaptable. And so even when maybe you don't love the phase that you're in, you can still appreciate that your body is working as well as it can. And when you talk about your body, it's like, yeah, I'm still able to do this, or it's possible for me to do this. And so maybe let's say you are trying to make more mindful choices about what you're eating, instead of saying to your kids, well, mom can't have this, she's on a diet. It's like, I'm trying to really feed my body the foods that make me feel my best. Doesn't mean they can't have it. Learning how to connect how food makes them feel as well is so important, because it's like, hey, how did we feel after we all had a million fruits like summer's coming?
Yes,
it's going to be a great teaching opportunity, because kids are running in and out and grabbing tons of stuff, not very thoughtfully. When they come back in an hour later and they're ravenous again, or they're hangry or whatever, we can connect. Hey, what did you have for lunch? Oh, you only had mac and cheese. I'm not slamming. I love mac and cheese.
We do too.
It's like, that's all you had? Oh, yeah, that's probably why you're hungry again. What could we add next time? It's just connecting. How is the food making us feel?
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Sorry, my thing turned down. Okay. So going right along with that, this to me was such a game changer when I started talking to you and learning about the way you approach food. And you said this, you were like, okay, so you just had macaroni and cheese. What can we add to it next time that will maybe make you feel a little bit more full? And this whole idea around additive nutrition, I think, is one of the best ways to approach food. And so will you just talk about that a little bit? Because this mindset, this idea changed everything for me when it came to food.
Yes. So I actually called it additive. I like to think that I'm a little bit of a rebel. Like, we're going to fight against diet culture, right? Yes. We are going to help women claim the body they want without obsessing over calories and scales and extremes. Like, I am all about, let's just stick it to the man a little bit. And so everyone's like, oh no, additives are the worst. I'm like, we are calling this principle additive nutrition. Why? Let's think about the gas tank again. Okay. So you have this car. Let's say that you fill up your car, but let's say you had some magic way of knowing and you only give yourself enough gas to get to your next destination. It's going to be really close. Sometimes you don't know if it's going to make it. Sometimes
running on fumes.
Maybe you'll have a little extra. You don't know.
Yeah.
Would that be stressful to you, Camille, if I just like only would fuel up enough just to maybe get you there?
Absolutely. I'm the type of person who always has their gas tank. As soon as it hits half, I fill it up. I
so
have
this
to have
would
a full
be extra
tank.
Stressful.
Yes.
Now let's think about, we often do this because of diet culture, because of the things that we've been taught about restricting and dieting and whatever. We do this with food. We're like, what is the bare minimum that I can feed myself to get to the next thing? Like,
oh my gosh.
To get to lunch, to get to dinner, to get through yes. this event.
How little can I eat and still survive? That totally was my mindset for so long.
Yes. It's like, how little can I eat until I just get so starving that I binge? That's the cycle. And what I want to do is move you towards the mentality of eating in a way that will help your body thrive. How can I nourish my body in a way so that I can thrive and fulfill my greatest potential? This is what diet culture teaches. How can you eat as little as possible to survive? That's what we're saying. It's like the Great Dane,
yeah.
right? How can we feed this dog as little as possible so that it turns into this little Pomeranian? It's not going to happen. Like, you're going to die before that happens. I can't willingly change the size of my feet without breaking every bone in my foot. Like, let's say I wear a size 8. And let's say I thought that a size 4 shoe was going to make me more beautiful. I would have to bind my feet and break every bone in there to make it yes. happen. This happened in history.
Yeah. Oh, this is, yep.
And now we think that's so ridiculous. We're doing the same thing with our bodies. How can I feed my body as little as possible so I'll just survive? And when you're in survival mode, are you showing up confidently with your kids, at events, with your spouse, when you're intimate?
No. I feel like because my brain is so focused on food, and either because I'm starving or because I feel shame because I overate, or me calculating what can I eat next that's going to still keep me skinny. Like, it's all consuming.
And you spend so much time and energy and money. Like,
the money.
Spending so much money on, it's $1 trillion. Women's bodies, we could get into a whole thing. Women's bodies are like a $1 trillion industry because women are like 75% of the market share. Of all the things that are bought, it's 75% of all that buying, all that purchasing power is happening from women. So if we can make you feel like you are at war with your body, that you have no control over your body, that your body is the enemy, that you have to fight against it to will it to do what you want it to do, they will continue to make money off of you forever. And so having this mindset that my body is my greatest ally, she's supported me, she has carried me, she has been there for me, and she wants me to feel my best, there is a definite difference between those two.
Absolutely. I was just saying, it just impacts everything.
Everything. What would your life be like if you didn't have to worry about the number on the scale anymore? Like, if you weren't consumed by that, to be a certain size, to X, Y, and Z, I really want you to pause this, sit and think, what would my life be like? What would I do? who would I spend my time with? What would I spend it doing? What would I spend my money on if I wasn't spending $200+ on semaglutide or Wegovy every month? What could I accomplish? And I think that's the biggest thing with diet mentality. It's not only can I shrink my size and eat as little as possible to survive. I was talking with my therapist once and she was like, I don't think you're depressed. I think you just learned to really control your emotions. And so she was like, unfortunately, when you try to control one emotion, you shorten your range for all other emotions. You can't just suppress one. And I think the same concept applies that when we try to physically shrink our physical presence, we do the world a disservice because then you shrink your sphere of influence. You shrink your impact. And so as a mom and as a woman and as a sister and a daughter and someone who really believes that my job is to help there be more good people in the world because the world is a dark place and needs more light. When we focus so heavily on controlling our bodies in this way, we are diminishing your light. We're diminishing the good that you can accomplish.
Oh, that is so true. And I couldn't agree more. I have seen so many women just become so fixated on their body and the numbers and being a certain size that it really has stopped them from not only reaching their potential, but influencing people around them for good. And like you, I just feel like as moms, we have so much impact, whether we recognize it or not, on our kids, but also, like you said, on our sisters, our moms, our friends, people in the community, people in our church. Like, the list can go on and on. I think sometimes we really downplay how big an influence we really do have on the people around us, but it's huge. And you nailed it. The world needs more light. However, a lot of times we can go to a really dark place when we are all consumed with the way our body looks, the number on the scale, the number of pant size we wear, et cetera, et cetera. And that there's got to be a better way. And I love how you've outlined it as instead of being at war with your body, see your body as your greatest ally. So good. So needed. I think that the perfect place to end. I just think that it's like that sums up so much of how I feel about women and their mental health. Like, we just have to stop fighting against ourselves and instead ally up with ourselves and just recognize that we're in this together with our body, and how we fuel our body and how we view our body is just one way to do it. But it's such a powerful way and a game changer when it comes to mental health. Is there anything else you want to add, Carla?
I just think the more, you don't have to be a therapist. You can make these changes. You can't. It's not your fault. You haven't been exposed to this maybe ever, or maybe just not enough times. I want you to have a lot of compassion with yourself that you have done the very best that you knew how. Society has taught you how to think about your body. Today's a new day, and you can think about your body in a new way. And the more that you learn how to understand your body, you don't have to be a scientist, rocket scientist to understand your body. With the right information, the right people to guide you, it can happen very quickly. But understand your body and work with it. The whole world of possibilities will become open to you. And I can promise you, because I've experienced it myself, it is amazing how your world will just kind of turn around. And you'll have the confidence that you've always wanted because you know how to work with your body.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'd add. You have done the best that you can. Be gentle with yourself. And now is a new day.
It is. And every day is a fresh start. It really is.
Every meal is a fresh start. Like, it's not just like to the next day. It's just, you know what? We're going to try again at the next meal.
It's not such a, like, a forgiving way to do this and to face life. It's like, well, maybe it wasn't my best at lunch, but I've got another chance at dinner, or I've got another chance at snack time. And there's just such a gentle peace in that. That sometimes we forget. Okay, so by now you probably are just in love with Carla like I am. And everyone is going to be like, how do I work with Carla? So let me tell you, in the Mommy Tummy Fix program, we have, so if you go to mommytummyfix.com,
Not only do you get the program about how to tighten your tummy and heal your diastasis recti and burn fat, but also we have now included 12 weeks of what we call our mindset modules. It's basically a 12-week video program where you watch videos every week and they help you change your mindset around food, around your body, around how you believe in yourself, how you show up for yourself. And so 3 out of those 12 weeks are actually taught by Carla. And she puts the emphasis on food. So Carla's whole company and whole business is called the Food Fight Method, because she believes that there is so much that you can do with just food and how you show up in the world through just what you eat. And she teaches you how to do it and how to change your mindset and how to just stick it to the man, like you said. Forget diet culture. We are doing this a different way, a gentler way, a better way that is long-term. And so you can work with her through that. It's a really good way to get a taste for Carla and what she does. And it's incredible. So if you want to check that out, you can go to mommytummyfix.com. It's $29 a month and gives you not only these workshops from Carla, 12 weeks of workshops, but also all the workouts, strength training, recipe ideas. Like, it's an all-in-one app for moms. The other way, if you want to work with Carla more directly and you heard her kind of say some things about it, health isn't a number on the scale. Health is in your blood. In order to understand your body, you have to understand what's going on inside your body. And she does that through blood work and analyzing those results when they come back. And it's something I've actually been doing with Carla, and it has changed my life. And I am so excited because I am doing my second round of blood work coming up. And so I'll have all my results from the last 7 months of work, which I'm so excited for, and I will share those. But if you want to work with her directly, you can go to foodfightmethod.com/MTF for Mommy Tummy Fix. So MTF. And you can sign up to work with Carla directly, and she will just guide you and hold your hand on this journey. And it's so powerful. So those are the ways that you can work with Carla, but I will put all the links in the description. So be sure to check those out too. But thanks so much for joining me today, Carla. I love talking to you. You always teach me something, and I just appreciate it so much.
I just love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We will see you guys next week. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Moms on the Rise podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the Mommy Tummy Fix program. If you are interested in learning more about how to take care of your body from a place of love, head over to the mommytummyfix.com and join our community of over 10,000 women who are finding ways to live a complete and healthy life, one small choice at a time. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, a rating, and follow along so that you don't miss a single conversation. Keep on rising.